With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Show's brought to you by our good pals, the law firm Condori and Murrah. They are big DC sports fans. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate admin, they do it all. Their attorneys are always there to take good care of you and to give you a discount while doing it. You've just got to hit them up, kmlawyers.com, and mention this radio show. That's kmlawyers.com. I don't know when we're going to make the big announcement that we're going to be making in the very near future.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that last night, in fact, because one of my friends asked me about it, and I was like, yeah, but we haven't officially said anything.
Right. So I got to talk to a grown-up about that. Darris, you need to talk to a grown-up about that, probably more importantly.
Right.
And then we'll make a show announcement based on the Condori and Murrah guys sending us on the road. Where we'll be this year?
It's a cool announcement, and I'd like to make it.
That's really interesting.
Right. I mean, okay, that's it. Because I was going to say other things.
You won't just keep burying. I mean, you won't just make the announcement.
No, I literally won't.
Drum roll, please.
Don't you dare put me in that spot, Ricky Bobby.
So you guys like, what are you guys doing? I never.
That was the least dramatic announcement ever. No. Hey.
In fact, Kia just sent me a list of the best chocolate chip cookie places in this particular area where
really?
We're going to be going to a game.
In the neighborhood?
Yes.
Huh.
He said, all this talk of cookies, LOL, and then it's a highly opinionated list of this city's best chocolate chip cookies where we're going on the road with the Condori and Murrah law firm.
What to pack on the trip to blank? Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we've got a big announcement looming on the Grant and Danny radio program. All right, I'm going to give you my top five players that impressed me the most at training camp. And I'm calling training camp over, basically, going into this last preseason game. Just because there's no more fan practices. That's what camp is to me. Now it's just like media access at practices, essentially, with a bigger roster as a technicality. But first, Matt's in Richmond. You can listen to us all over the DMV on 106.7 in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. All over the country on the Odyssey app. You can watch us on the 106.7 YouTube channel. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Hey, Grant. I want to say I love the show. I listen every day.
You're kind.
Appreciate
sir,
you,
for
buddy.
That. Thank you.
I'm 54 years old and been a Redskins fan my entire life. And I'm a huge Jersey guy. So you kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little while ago talking about these hipster Paulson jerseys.
Now, are you a Jersey hipster or you don't care? You just get a jersey of a player you like and don't think twice?
I'm not a hipster, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a huge Jersey guy. And all of my jerseys are popular, number one picks, starting quarterbacks, you know. Big names in the franchise.
That's what people do. That's what most people do.
Grant can't do that.
Yeah, that's. I'm not yucking your yum. You like beer. I like cocktails.
Here's my issue.
Okay.
When you say hipster to somebody from my generation, here's what we picture. A dude with a man bun and some skinny jeans and some Crocs with socks or Hey Dudes. Walking around his little bitty dog through the city with the Jeremy Reeves jersey on.
Right. That sounds about right. Yeah,
pretty much. You got now, it.
The hipster, the phrase is about the jersey, to be clear. I don't need a little like pencil mustache, or I don't need to work at a place. I went to this place one time. It's a good phone call, Matt. Thank you. I went to this place in Falls Church where they're known for serving... I'm pretty sure it's like PB&J's, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it was the most hipster spot ever. And I like sit down at the bar and the guy's like, can I get you a PB&J? And I'm like, I would love that. Can you put bacon on it? And he's like, no, we don't do that. I'm like, okay. He's like, what do you want to drink? I'm like, I'll take a Jack and Coke. He's like, no, we just have beer. It's like, you know, one of those. And
right.
It's like his jeans are rolled up and he's got a mustache. And it's like, this place is nothing but hipsters. When I'm saying hipster, I'm talking about the jersey itself.
Because the whole point of the hipster is counterculture.
Yes.
In other words, what everyone else likes, The entire existence is to let you know that they don't like that.
You have to have the PB&J because no one has PB&J. So you're doing right. That. Makes you a hipster. You like the band that no one likes.
As soon as they get popular, oh, that's the worst thing that ever happened to you.
You like the movie. It's all of a sudden, 8 billion people have seen the movie. You don't like the movie anymore. You hate the movie. You know what movie I love is the one that no one's watching. So the point of Jersey hipster, mm-hmm. Paulson, is that I need to have a jersey that nobody has. I'm not really a hipster in my life. I don't necessarily care to be. But when it comes to sport fandom, I would say in this particular way I am. Maybe not in other ways.
You got to have the unique jersey. And you've talked about this before. It's a long time ago. But you live for that feeling where the one out of every, I make up a number, 127 people that see the jersey will go, oh, that's awesome.
Right, because most people won't even know, A, who the player is, or B, like there's not enough ball knowers to really appreciate that it's an awesome jersey. There's just, it doesn't happen. Because I'm going for the deep cut. Sounds like the word hipster bothers this guy. Then the deep cut Paulson is what you're looking for, mm-hmm. okay?
We shortened it the jersey hipster.
The better I do, the fewer other jerseys there are. My dream is only me and his parents have his jersey.
That's your best case.
Maybe he's got a brother and a wife. If there's a single-digit amount of people on the planet, and this has been since I was a kid, I got a Matt Bowen jersey before that was cool. I have a Mike Barrow jersey in a closet somewhere. He never played it down for Washington. I have a Chris Horton jersey. We could go round and round the horn here on random dudes, so I just thought were pretty cool. I really liked Ndukwe Kalu, you know? So get an Ndukwe Kalu jersey.
Who didn't? The best case scenario, the fourth line winger who's there to just be rough and tumble, and if everything goes great, he might get you 3 goals on a season.
How many people have a Steve Alexi jersey?
The Alexi family.
He used to get into a couple of fights and be a last defenseman in every now and
then.
He's
here to scrap.
A lot of healthy scratches and scraps.
And he was wearing great suits up in the press box. We saw him up there a couple times. You're like, wow, that's a handsome guy.
That's my guy. Are you a fourth liner? Are you a third pair defenseman? Is there a chance you're getting parked because the coach is disappointed in you? I probably have your sweater.
The fourth line winger that gets called up and his jersey is not even available in the team store yet, but you have it somehow.
Do I have an Ovi sweater?
No.
Of course I don't. Do I have
But isn't that your favorite player ever? Oh, did I just come onto something?
No, I mean,
why'd your voice go up?
Well, because this, I mean, again, hipster Paulson.
Yeah.
I can't say yes. Who's my favorite Capital ever? I've got it. I can't say Ovi.
It's Matt Hendricks, isn't it?
It's probably Matt Hendricks or somebody like Matt Hendricks. I can't say Ovi. Everyone says Ovi.
Does he make your top? It even extends to players you like, not just jerseys?
I guess it does. I mean, if you were to ask me, my childhood team is the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
Who's my favorite Oriole ever? I'm not going to say Cal Ripken Jr. That's late.
Is Luis Matos or Daniel Cabrera?
It's Daniel Cabrera.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Respectfully, that is dumb.
Yes. I sponsored his baseball reference page for many, many years. But I have to be a hipster on this. Not like, you know, like everyone loves James Wood. That's my favorite National. Everyone loves Juan Soto. That's my favorite National. Everyone loves Max Scherzer. But I have to also acknowledge how much I like this random dude who plays once a week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing that I do in general, not with players, but I have to let everybody know that I know.
I think there's some of that.
I insist on it, and I think there's probably some crossover there.
Maybe.
Because you already said it, like the ball knower is going to know.
Yes, but it's not really like you know that I know. There's no conversation that happens where I'm about to like show off ball knowledge. It's more about I'm not going to fall in line with all the people that are just doing the easy thing. Everybody wants an 8. God bless you. I'm glad there are 8s everywhere. I've bought more 8s than the average bear. I got my brother's 8s. I got my sister an 8. I got auntie and uncle 8s. I bought a bunch of
Ovechkin. You purchased plenty of 8s.
I've never worn an Ovechkin sweater in my life.
You've never worn one?
Not one time. Never.
Even when you're sitting right up there on that glassware.
I don't own one. How could I?
Oh. So you could have borrowed one?
I've probably bought 30 cap sweaters in my life. Think about this. I have an Andrew Kristall Capitals hockey sweater who's never played for them. I don't have an Alex Ovechkin.
At any point, do you just kind of look back at the road behind you and all the flames go, what have I done?
I have an 18 Chandler Stevenson. because he was on the third line that I fell in love with during the Cup run.
Didn't he score a goal against the Penguins in the deciding game? Or in that series?
He probably, yeah.
He had a huge goal in that series.
Stanley Cup. Loved Chandler Stephenson, who ended up going on to Vegas and having a great career. I have a Chandler Stephenson sweater. I don't have an Ovi sweater. I don't have a Backstrom sweater. I don't have a John Carlson. I don't have a Braden Holtby. And I never would. It's not that I don't like those guys. I love those guys.
But how do you show it? Not with a jersey.
I show it in a lot of ways. I just don't show it with a jersey. Let's go to Chris, who's in Reston. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Both of you are spot on, and that previous caller has got it so wrong. It sounds like he's got a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady jersey in his closet.
Like the Rob Lowe NFL hat?
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. Like, this is not, these are not the jerseys that you need to purchase. Like, I've shown up to your guys' events in, like, a Ben Wallace Bullets jersey.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course.
And by the way, my hair is long and luscious, but that's besides the point.
Well, you couldn't play for Grant? Not in that Ben Wallace with long hair? He'd cut you or trade you.
I'm channeling his energy there. No, but I mean, like, my jerseys are, like, deep cuts of my home team. But this guy was just sounding like he's going to get the hottest. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've walked by the black 5 jersey at Dick's, and I haven't bought it yet.
No, you can't. You can't get a Jaden Daniels jersey. No chance. Why would I do that?
What do you mean you can't? Sure you could.
I can't.
Well, I mean, you can't wear number 5. No one's saying you can do that.
He's the most popular player on the team. Now, did I buy my kid a Jaden Daniels? I did. Did I buy my brother a Jaden Daniels? Absolutely.
Let's say he's the MVP of the league and wins a Super Bowl here.
More reason that I can't.
You couldn't, just to say thank you, you couldn't buy that jersey?
The only way I could wear his jersey is if the opposite happens. Then, if people stop wearing his jersey.
He's traded before the season starts to the Colts.
I'll buy a Jaden Daniels
you buy
Colts
one,
jersey
I
or
mean,
something.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
but, like, if, do more than 100 people own the jersey?
I'll say yes.
I can't wear it.
Why?
Can't do it.
Why?
As soon as I start to see other people wear my jerseys, they go away.
You get uncomfortable.
I got a Ryan Leonard sweater before he got called up to the Capitals.
I remember it was before
he
got called up.
When he was still at Boston College.
You're telling everybody. I mean, he literally hadn't graduated college yet.
Playing in Boston, I should say. And when he was still playing in college, I get the little kid Leno. And then as soon as he gets called up, every Tom, Dick, and Harry wants to get a Ryan Leonard sweater. You know what I had to do? Fold it up and say you had a good run.
But even though you were first, why do you have to put it away? That's what I'll never get.
Because
you were
now,
first.
It's just I'm just one of thousands of people at the game wearing a Ryan Leonard.
But then what happens? Nothing happens, right?
It's not a hipster jersey anymore. He's a top 5 most popular player on the team.
But what drives that? Like, is there anxiety? Is there discomfort? Is there irritation?
No,
in other words, you go, I have to.
It's
no, you don't.
It's the accomplishment. Mm. Again, you have the thing no one else has. Mike in Alexandria, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up,
bud? Would you consider a Craig Anderson Capitals jersey a hipster jersey?
Definitely.
He did win a playoff game for him.
Absolutely. How many people do you think have that jersey?
7.
You win.
Then you win.
In fact, you win harder than I've won in a long time. That's a big time victory. And Craig Anderson was a Capital for like 6 seconds.
I mean, an hour and a half?
During the pandemic season. I don't remember him playing and winning in a playoff game. I'll take his word for it.
He played 4 games for the Caps that year.
Yeah.
I just looked it up.
But you get, I mean, the fact that he has, like, that's an incredible jersey. Now, there's going to be a lot of technicalities. You're going to try to punch a hole through this. I'm telling you, this is an inexact science.
I don't understand.
This is a moving target.
Yeah.
I don't love that one, though. I'm not, like, going back in time to get obscure jerseys. That could be an avenue that I could
So
open.
You're not going to do the Mike Bibby Wizards jersey because
exactly.
He never played here because that's...
Because it's obscure.
That's trying too hard. Now you're a tryhard.
And I don't want to be a tryhard. So, like, the example I'll give you is I think Chris called in a little bit ago, and he said, you know, he has a Ben Wallace or something like that. Like, you know what would be hilarious is like an Ifeanyi Oualete jersey or like a Rock Cartwright jersey. I'm not going back in time now to get those now for the backpat. I'm mostly doing current player backpats, if that makes sense. If he got a Craig Anderson that season, perfect. You get a Craig Anderson now because he played four games and no one knows
it. Or it's some flea market or a yard sale for a buck. You look at that. And you're like, mm.
Try hard.
You tried too hard.
Nico, this is tough.
This is so hard to find.
It's a moving runway. We're landing this plane.
The sweet spot is tough.
Nico, how are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
You know it when you see it, Danny.
Yeah.
Good. I got number 33, Sammy Ball. Does that count as a hipster jersey?
It's a good jersey. I would not call it a hipster jersey.
That is not a hipster jersey.
Retired uniform number, one of the greatest players in team history. Unique and definitely something I would rock probably because no one else at the game is going to have a 33 ball. That's pretty damn good. But it's certainly not a hipster jersey. And also, I want to add the rule. We're not going back in time, like to legend status.
Mm-hmm.
I think now, if it's semi-recent, like I haven't worn my Steve Alexi or my Matt Hendricks in a while, but I think those still play. It's in the 2000s. You know, it's fairly recent. It's the modern era, the Rock the Red era. Did they wear the same uniforms? Although for the Commanders, that doesn't count because they change uniforms every 3 seconds. Bernie in Potomac Falls, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well, but I don't think I'm relevant any longer. What I was going to say is my number 8 for the Capitals, for me, it's Larry Murphy. And I used to, he's my favorite Capital of all time. I'm of that age. He's in the Hall of Fame and won a bunch of cups. I thought it was a hipster jersey when I got it, when Ovechkin came up. And the other one I was going to say that I know when I first got it, it was a hipster jersey. I got a Bias jersey about 20 years ago when That's nobody good. Was wearing them. Right, and I wore it twice to go see him play at UNC. So it had other meaning. Now they're all of it. They're replicas everywhere. He's kind of had a rebirth. But that was my hipster jersey. Larry Murphy, number 8, when Ovechkin was playing, and Bias.
Great one. I didn't cut you off. It slipped. But yeah, that's a really good one. And by the Bias one is now like mainstream pop culture. You see it all the time. People like wear it on television. Nationally.
Which actually is really cool, by the way, as a quick side note. Yes. I love that.
Amazing. Very, very cool. But yeah, I think there was a time where those were hipster jerseys, probably, if you were the only one that had them. Matt, Yorktown, you're on the Fan. What's good?
Hey, guys. Loving the conversation. I wouldn't necessarily call them hipster jerseys because I got them at the time when they were popular, but I have in my closet and still wear them every once in a while a Jake Plummer Arizona State jersey. Ooh. And a Colt Brennan black Hawaii Warriors jersey.
So this is another lane that you're driving down, which is fine, but the throwback to college and or high school of a player. Somebody got a John Wall autograph when I was hanging out at the draft event we were doing at the Anthem, and they were like showing him his high school jersey, and he's like, oh, bring that up here, I'll sign that.
Uh-huh.
And that's a great way, by the way, to get a player to sign an autograph because those are rare.
Yeah.
Different lane, though. You understand?
Like, and it's not for you.
It's not a lane I drive on.
Okay.
But
it's not your Jalen.
This is not me telling anyone else how to jersey. Everyone's got their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to like get into my club of jersey hipster Paulson, you just got turned down with the velvet rope.
It is such an exclusive club. And it's never in one location. It's tough to find.
Okay. So like someone goes, give us examples from the current teams. Easy.
Yeah.
So you want a Nationals jersey hipster option right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if I had to buy a jersey today, I would get a Abimelech Ortiz. So it's an Ortiz 81, probably going to end up changing his number.
Okay.
But I get steamed for Abby, for sure. The other one I would consider today would be a Andrew Alvarez 54. I don't even like Andrew Alvarez. I don't think he's going to be in the big leagues in 2 years. That's a perfect jersey, hipster jersey. The last Nats jersey I bought was a Bo Porter when he was the third base coach.
I want to be so clear about that. When he was the third base coach. And he had been out of baseball as a player for years.
It's actually one of my most embarrassing jersey hipster purchases when you hear it. I spent $300 on it because it was a game-worn Bo Porter jersey.
Yeah, he wore that in a game.
Bo Porter coached third with that jersey, and I bought it at Nats Park as a replica, authentic Bo Porter jersey.
So let's go Nats super quick. Ball or strike? Jersey that you would get or not?
Okay.
All right, ready? So because this might help people. Miles Michaelis.
No,
right? Because some people might think, oh, is that hipster enough?
No, because I don't want to remember that anymore.
Exactly. Mitch Parker.
That's tough.
Isn't it?
Mitch Parker's the perfect jersey hipster jersey.
This is what I'm saying.
So even though he's not good at all, yes, that's a perfect jersey hipster jersey.
Brad Lord.
Perfect.
Clayton Beter.
The whole team's pretty good because they're very obscure and no one has their jerseys.
Uh-huh.
Clayton Beater's too good, throws 98.
Orlando Ribalta.
Phenomenal.
That feels like your wheelhouse,
that
right?
That is phenomenal. I should get one tonight.
Now, Carson Palmquist. On the 40, man. He's an opener.
Honestly, perfect.
You see? Are people seeing this now?
That's what people need to understand. This is how the game is played.
You roll up with a Tom Cosgrove jersey.
No, Tom Cosgrove is a tryhard. You're trying too hard.
What?
Trying too hard.
That one's not okay, but Ribalta's fine?
Yes. You know it when you see it.
It's impossible.
Brian in Alexandria.
Guys, I love this sort of conversation. I think that having the third line hipster jersey is kind of like when your friend walks up and says, "Oh yeah, I'm a huge fan of that band you like," and you got to say, "Oh yeah, what are your top three songs?" And you got to you got to challenge him to prove that you're a better fan than he is. Like, "Oh yeah, see, I've got a number 10 Matt Bradley jersey at home. What do you got?"
Let's face it. At its core, that's kind of what this.
That's
is.
What this is.
A little bit of like, "Oh, you're a Caps fan? Yeah, are you? That's pretty cool. You have an Andrew Kristall jersey? You're not that much of a Caps fan, are you?" Connor in Arlington, what's good?
Hey, guys. I've only had three jerseys my entire life. Jay Beagle in high school, Matt Hendricks in middle school, and a Jeff Schultz jersey in elementary school.
I've had all three of those jerseys. You might be in the club, Connor. You might be in the club.
Connor, if you had to buy one more jersey right now this minute, you had to spend it, you had to get a jersey, what would you get? Any team.
A Kalon Black San Francisco 49ers jersey because he was at JMU with Cignetti.
This guy gets it. He's in the club.
I feel like he's speaking your language.
Absolutely. If I had to buy a Capitals sweater right now.
Today, right now, you got to go spend money on a Capitals jersey. You're getting?
Ethan Frank. An Ethan Frank 53 who probably won't make the team. Or if you want me to get someone who's definitely going to be on the squad, my cap sweater for this year, I like going young typically, but I'm going to go against type here a little bit. I'm going to go Boone Jenner. Me and Mr. and Mrs. Jenner. That's the list. We'll have that sweater for opening night.
So you couldn't do Ilya Protas, for example?
Oh, God, no. I mean,
I'm not talking about Alexei Protas, brother.
I understand who you're talking about.
If
I was getting an Ilya Protas, I would have had to do it a year ago. It's too late now. It's way too late to get an Ilya Protas. There's going to be like 15 of those on opening night.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfathomable.
You know how many Connors are out there trying to impress people with an Ilya Protas?
There's so many Connors.
He's already on it.
Eight dudes named Connor went to JMU.
Let's go to Scott in Arlington on the Fan. Scott, what's up?
Hey, how are we doing, guys? Grant, you are so close. I think your hipster club is borderline tryhard. I think you got to go random, like one-time all-stars, like Christian Guzman or John Lannon, Dad Cordero kind of thing, because then you're going to hit the sweet spot of people who know what they're talking about, and no one else has got a Mark Langston or a Tim Walsh jersey.
I do like the leveling up of he was good but not sustainably.
Yeah.
Like, there was a peak. There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam.
Like, you got a Jose Vidro jersey. It means you were there for Matt Chico and Tim Redding.
And
you know.
Everybody knows the player.
Yep.
This might actually be the next thing I start doing. I got to give this more thought. But the throwback obscure player. Like, enough with the guy that's on the fringe of the roster right now guy. I'm talking about the 2014 obscure player. That could be my new lane. Let me think about this. G&D on the Fan, Joshua Josephs. He was actually number one on my list of hipster jerseys to purchase for sustainability. They're going to be here for a while that I gave out earlier today. You'll hear the interview I did with him today next on the Fan. If you're looking for a collection of names that are most impressive coming out of training camp, guys that overachieved or maybe shine more than I thought they would, the list includes tight end Colson Yankoff was probably going to make the team at this point, special teams and pass catcher. Treylon Burks, I thought, had a tremendous camp and joint practice with the Dolphins. Saw him in the preseason game as well. He's been banged up and hasn't done anything the last week. Then again, nobody on the team's really done much. The last week,
say who has.
Kalavon Chaisson, I thought, was awesome for the first couple weeks of camp. And then the other one I'll throw in there is Rasul Douglas, the cornerback who was signed, veteran, been around the league, played all over the place, Green Bay Packers notably and other places. Big-time takeaway guy, interception guy, maven, turning the ball over. But Yankoff, Burks, Chaisson, Douglas stand out with Joshua Josephs, the edge rusher, the rookie from Tennessee. I caught up with him today to talk about how camp came together for him and how he felt about what he was able to put on tape over the last couple of weeks.
I mean, yeah, obviously there's some reps that I would love back, but I've just been able to mature and just learn and gain the trust and respect of the people around me, including coaches and players. So it's been stuff like that, just being grateful for every opportunity I get, just putting Christ first in everything that I do and just knowing that I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. It's like it wasn't no accident. I'm not mistakenly here.
I have been asking a few people around the team, like, who impressed them most at training camp? And your name has come up a lot as a guy that maybe, like, elevated yourself as you went on. Did you feel that, or did you feel like you stood out in a way that was really noticeable?
Somewhat. Like, I feel like there's way more that I could do. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, there's always obviously some reps and some plays that I want back, but I can't get those back. And I don't know what if the other people said it, I guess I've done it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't speak for myself and my own accolades.
You played in the one preseason game against Miami,
yeah,
and obviously had the joint practice. Sure. I'm sure those were the two most important days to this point in a lot of ways. Yeah, how did you feel like those went?
They were cool. Definitely helped me get in better shape, especially as training camp just progressed. I've just gotten in better and better in shape, and I can tell that, especially off of this past week and just how we've been practicing and how I practice, I was able to tell, like, okay, I feel a little more wind out here. So how I've done individually during those 2 days, again, I feel like that's some an outside perspective can tell you. Like, I myself, obviously, I don't think I've done enough, and I don't think I ever will ever do enough. So, like, again, like, everybody has their own levels, their own standards, their own expectations of whoever it may be. I guess, I don't know. I can't say what mine are for myself, except for just winning. Just
when you were drafted, a lot of the talk was about how good you'd be against the run, but watching you out here as a pass rusher is where I don't think you get enough credit, but the length and... For you, do you view yourself as like just as a like? Do you have a multitude of moves, physical over fast? Like, how do you see yourself if you were describing yourself as a pass rusher?
Definitely, just somebody who works off of speed. So I can work off speed into finesse, or I work off speed into power. But like, definitely, it starts with my speed. A lot of people are threatened by my speed, and a lot of people are just surprised by my power. So it's just stuff like that, just working off my speed. Yeah, when it comes to the run game, I don't know. Playing the run game is just like, it's kind of like a mindset to me. Like, individually, I feel like it's like, who really wants this more, who really wants this down more, especially if you know your job, your role, whatever you're supposed to do in that play. Once you get to that position, who is it that you got to defeat to get in that backfield? That's just how I perceive it as a run defender. And yeah, I guess you can apply that to passing situations too.
What's your favorite part of practice? Like, one-on-ones versus 11s?
No, it's definitely team. Yeah, 11-on-11.
The real football.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, especially when I'm out there. It's just fun.
And then lastly, you mentioned a few times, like, reps you'd want back. I'm curious, your favorite rep, like the best rep or the moment, either camp or the preseason game or whatever, that you look back at and you're like, I feel good about that.
It was one rep when I was tired during camp, and the tight end had picked up on me, and the tackle was helping. So I had got off the tight end. I threw the tight end past me, and when the tackle came by, I hit him with like a quick move inside, and that's definitely one of my favorite reps, just because of how it looked on film and how it felt in like while doing it.
Did Coach show that one to the room?
We probably showed it in the defensive room. I don't think we showed it on the team, but we definitely watched it as like outside linebackers and in the defensive room.
I love that. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
I like hearing that story of him thinking back on that one play where he kind of impressed himself. And you've seen enough Hard Knocks to know what that looks like, where in the, you know, OLB's kind of edge room, so to speak, they put that up as teach tape and they're like, look at rookie. Look at what he did.
And everybody has a nice moment. Maybe get smacked with a towel or something like that. But yeah, I love that. Cool. I love that kind of stuff.
He's been really good. I thought it was more against the run, length, grab a chest plate, pull a guy one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
He can move, man. He's an athlete.
Did not have like this overwhelming resume. I guess that's how you last as long as you did in the draft. But this is the, you know, the you either looking for someone that dominated at the previous level to see if they can learn to adapt and survive at the next level, or somebody with traits, kind of to your point. And some of those traits are there. I mean, he looks like that edge rusher, that essential casting.
Grant and Danny on the Fan coming up in 20 minutes at 6 o'clock. I do want to answer some burning NFL questions as we get ready for week two of the preseason. You count the Hall of Fame game, I guess that was week one. But another batch of games kicking off tonight. You're listening to The Fan. We were just talking during the break about the Pete Alonso near home run last night that was called a foul ball. Ended up being reviewed in New York and was still deemed a foul ball. The replay shows from the angle you're getting, which might not be perfect or exactly down the line, a fly ball that looks extremely fair. High arcing over top of the foul pole, but still to the right into fair territory of the foul pole. Now, is it possible, 5, 7, 8% chance, that it was foul and it's just a bad angle and it's deceiving? Like a puck going over the end line in hockey on a goal or no goal? I suppose so. But anyone who watches that replay, you go, oh, that's a home run. That's what a home run looks like. And that's been a home run for, you know, 95% of my life.
Yeah, there's a little freeze frame with the ball to the right of the pole because it's a homer.
Where's the ball here?
It's look at the pole and you go up the pole and then it's to the right. It's up there in between the 22 and the 33. It's hard to see from as far away as you are, but it's clear as day.
No, but
it should have taken 2 seconds, and they should have gone, oh, yeah, obvious homer.
The only thing I'll say about that picture is you could freeze frame a foul ball like that, where before it crosses over, foul, to the left of the pole, you could get that shot. But your point is the correct point, I think, which is watch the replay. That's a home run. But because they do this thing where they have to have a 100% without a shadow of a doubt, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, they can tell themselves, well, there's doubt here because of the angle, or we don't actually know. Like, if you actually have to have seen it live or caught the ball in fair territory if you're the umpire, or, like, had the technology to show you where it went across, I guess technically you don't know for sure. It's not irrefutable, and then they're not going to overturn it. But if that's the case, if that's the threshold, and it is, to overturn this play, and it was wrong in a huge spot. The Orioles are within a game
it's
of the wild card.
It's a massive spot.
Trying to win this game. It's a lead-taking home run in the seventh. Then we need to blow something up or change something or do something different. That has to be a home run.
So in general, I actually understand and my view of replay, because I sort of tongue-in-cheek say, if we can't get it right after replay, then just get rid of replay. Like, that's my view.
I've never felt that way, but I know a lot of people
because my point
like
is,
say that.
If we can't get it right, then what's the point of any of this exercise? But I do understand in principle, and that's like my tongue-in-cheek answer. I understand in principle if you go, we don't have enough data, it shouldn't take 20 minutes to tell you don't have enough data. It should be bang, bang, obvious. This is bang, bang, obvious. This is one of those, it's such a massive thing. And any, like, I understand, I'm like, oh my God, I'm bound by these rules. Tear those rules up for a second. I don't know how to say it other than that. In general, I don't like that. I don't like that in practice where we try to write a rule or write a law or write a precedent that you try to apply as evenly as possible for everybody at all times. This is such a clear home run. And the easiest replay in human history that I've watched 50 times on Reddit, all I had to do was just Google Pete Alonso almost homer, and I got a definitive view, there's no doubt about it, that it is a home run, and they couldn't get it right. I would start at the same way I feel about some of the dumb NFL rules that I've screamed about wanting to change for years. This is such a panic-inducing thing for me. If I'm Major League Baseball, I go, we cannot go another day with whatever led to this as the precedent or rule. Tear it up and start again. We need someone like the Secretary of Common Sense once per season even to come in as a replay official and go, I understand what you guys are looking for, a second look and a camera angle that doesn't exist. That's a homer. Let's go back to playing baseball again. It's too obviously a homer to miss.
This was last night, Camden Yards in Baltimore.
Pete Alonso, the two-out batter on a night where he has homered.
Oh, no. I probably got to take a look at this.
This is a crew chief review of the ball, foul ball.
Oh, that ball went on a foul ball.
That's a fair ball.
Yep.
That is inside the pole, and Pete knows it.
This just has to be overturned. It has to be.
And here we go. Here's Will Little.
After review, the ball on the field stands.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, Will.
It's been a home run for so long. If that happens 100 times, it's called a homer, like 99. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt.
And then they go to crew chief challenge and they go, oh, yeah, obviously it's a homer. Right? And it becomes 100.
It's just such an important play. Such a big moment of the game. How does Albernez not get run there, by the way? I guess because it's already been reviewed, you can't change their mind.
Yeah, who are you going to argue with?
I don't even think it's an argument. I think it's a, well, my night's over. Like, that's how right. I would have taken it.
I need to throw a tantrum here.
You think Bobby Cox is just chilling there? Earl Weaver is just like, well, boys, we'll just take this one and wear it.
Yeah.
I think if you're Albernez, all the bubble gum's out in front of the dugout.
Yeah, all shucks, I guess.
All the Gatorade buckets are being poured out. And I, like, this one's one of those choreographed, like, crawling around the infield moments.
Yeah, I may not go full Wally Backman, but I would jog down to that foul pole and point it out and then point out where the ball went. You might see me down there. Just to let everybody know, we're not playing again until you acknowledge, even though the review officials could or couldn't get it right, it was right over there. As soon as you admit that to me, I'll leave the field.
How do they not have the technology to figure this out? They know to the tenth of an inch whether a pitch crosses the plate or not with their new ABS system tracking.
Yeah.
They track player data, how many inches and feet they've run in the outfield and the angle that they're facing home plate at, and they track everything. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about to the inch.
Yep.
And they can't determine if a ball's fair or foul over the foul pole. You got to add TrackMan data, or I guess it would be like that Hawkeye technology. They're triangulating things to track the baseball and the velocities and the exit and the launch, and they can do everything. The, yep. the angle to the degrees that a ball leaves a bat, they can tell you.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me if that ball was to the right or left of the big yellow thing?
We did have a second angle. Oh, well. Back to y'all. Wrong. Incorrect. I'm with you. I can't believe it. It's because not enough terrible seminal moments have happened to force their hand on that. Because that's just money, time, resources, energy. Enough guys have gotten thrown out of games. Enough guys have yelled at umpires. Enough guys have questioned terrible zones of the Laz Diaz's and the Angel Hernandez's and the rest of the guys all around. To basically finally say, all right, we have to do something about this. And they did. And zones have been cleaned up a million times. Go back and look at some Eric Gregg strike calls in the 90s. Things look like pitch outs, and he's just ringing people up left and right like Leslie Nielsen and Naked Gun. It's just time and energy and resources. And it'll happen. You need, you know, maybe another high-profile one like this or two before, you know, some member of the Yankees brass, it screws them, and then they'll get some change. But it's too obvious to not get that one right.
Nat's lineup just came out. C.J. Abrams is not at second base again. And actually, he's not in the lineup tonight.
Oh, I was going to say, okay.
Yeah, so they got Nassim Nunez at short, and Jose Tena.
Is he DH-ing or
homered yesterday. I don't think he's in the lineup at all. Oh. I think he's off tonight.
So it looks like Zuckerman said that there was a play last night where C.J.
went to second awkward.
Oh,
yeah.
Ankle?
Yeah. So,
dude, that was... Yeah.
They said that he's limping around today and that, yeah, they're going to give him some time off of his feet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sorry. Our bad. Yep, totally fine.
I'll accept that.
Yes, that's reasonable because that was gruesome looking.
It looked like he just broke his ankle into 56 pieces, but luckily he did not.
And then he was fine because he's a young, pliable, athletic person.
I still don't quite feel like this is... A 0% he doesn't want to play second thing. But we'll wait. We'll kick the can down the road.
Yep.
Let's let that ankle heal.
Mm-hmm.
Might take a little longer for it to heal, maybe. Yep. I don't know.
Who knows?
But we'll see what's what. G&D on the Fan, our burning NFL question, spinning around the league next.